Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This podcast is brought to you by Anchor. Are you thinking about doing your own podcast, but you don't know how? Well, have you heard about Anchor? It's actually the platform that I'm hosting through this right now. And yes, it's free. Not only is it free, it's super easy to use. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. It's really that easy. And guess what? You can actually make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. That's a big deal. So it's really everything you need in one place to make an amazing podcast. All you have to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
What is this whole thing where you feel like you could just tell me how to live my life and always command me to do your bidding, but you've never even once asked me how I'm doing?
He just talks at you.
Yes. I was like, you always talk at me. You don't ever speak to me. Yeah. What do you think gives you the right to speak to me that way? Especially I'm grown now. I pay all my own fucking bills. In fact, I help you guys out too. So yeah. It's like, I'm not telling you that you owe me anything, but in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. I am your host, David So. And once again, we have Ed Park, VP. People are texting me. Shut the fuck up. Cheers. We have ourselves some fancy soju right now. It's supposed to be the shit.
Miru.
And that is smooth as hell.
This is the smoothest soju I've ever had in my fucking life.
Yeah. Wow, this is really good.
This is dangerous.
I'm actually a little shocked. Oh.
This is damn good.
Dude, my pinky's out right now. I'm like, God damn. Oh. Omo?
It's called Miru.
Miru.
And where'd you get it?
I got it from a pachinko gift set.
All right.
They sent me a quick little gift thing for a promotion. And of course, Justin Chan's directing
Buck, yeah.
A few episodes. And then we have Annie Chang being the DP for a few. If you guys don't know who they are, Justin Chan is my beady rat-eyed little friend. You know, I fucking love this guy. Gook, the film. We're talking about Miss Purple, Blue Bayou.
I used to do his YouTube videos like 10 years ago.
Dude, people don't even know that shit.
It's when I was big too. You could see me in the old ones and I'm like pretty chunky.
Dude, if you guys just go back, look at Justin Chan and look at his old YouTube videos. They're the weirdest sketches you'll ever see in your fucking life. Like, so fucking weird. There's this one sketch that you guys did that had me fucking dying because of how odd it was. And it was when Henry was in it.
I'm sorry. That shit, you just said it, what it was. And I know. Like, it's one of the funniest skits.
Dude, like, yeah. There's a big baby. Yeah. He's wearing like a super tight Seahawks jersey. Yeah. Yo, what the fuck was that? Explain that shit to me. So,
the thing is, we always had normal skits, right? For Justin's YouTube. And back in the day, because, you know, he's homies with Kev Jumba and Ryan Higa. And they had the same formula, and they were pushing Justin to start his own YouTube. And she said, just do our formula.
Yeah.
Right. So when Justin came to town in Seattle, and he that's when I first met him. Mm-hmm. We kicked it off so good that he fucking flew back to Seattle just so we could film YouTube skits.
So but he was living in Seattle for a bit?
Week with us. Yeah. And so we filmed like 12 skits in a week, and then he flew back and I just edited them for him. That's why his old YouTube is always in Seattle. It's because he flew up there to make him with us.
It was so random.
So random. So the script is normal as hell, right? Just like you know, youthful, like, oh, don't you hate it when this, and then it's a vlog at first, and you skip to a skit, then you jump back to the vlog, then you jump to a skit, right?
But classic
then
format.
We just started fucking with the format just to be outside of the box. But our like mantra was also, how dumb can we be and get away with it, right?
Dude.
It was, how stupid can we be on purpose?
We got to start doing these stupid sketches again, man. Like the literally just talking shit and then doing sketches that follows the talking shit part is the funnest shit ever, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember one of the dumbest sketches that he and I ever did? It's so fucking stupid. It's literally about me shoving my fucking dick in somebody's face after I beat them at playing games. The Street Fighter one with the humbug.
All right.
Dude.
I was like, wait, what? Oh, dude, that's right.
Go back and watch that. That shit is hella funny, bro. Yeah,
I looked back at that. I was like, damn, I made this? Like,
it was
After Effects on it? Like, I was like, oh shit. Like, because if you guys know my story, I had to go back home after I lived here and I had to work at a gas station for like 4 years. And like, I'm really rusty on After Effects and all of that. So when I was watching that skit, I was like, damn.
That was good.
Maybe I can do that again, you know?
It's I literally wrote that thing just based on a fat joke that somebody used to say to me. They said that David's Korean, so he's not E Honda. We had to call him E Hyundai.
That's good, though.
And that's such a good diss. And I literally built the whole sketch off of that one diss.
Dude, E Hyundai.
This one fool called me E Hyundai, and I remember...
That's fucking good.
Yeah. And I just remember when he said that shit, dude, I busted up laughing so fucking hard because of how good the roast was. Yeah. I was like, hey, you can't call David Ihanda. He's crazy. Ihande. Yeah. I was like, dog, that's fucking hilarious.
Oh my God.
I forgot who the fuck said that shit to me, but it was of course like a Korean guy. But I don't remember who said that diss to me, but that shit hurt my feelings so bad.
But like you, and then you owned it.
Dog, but you know, like when somebody makes fun of you, even if it hurts your feelings, if it's hella funny, I'm gonna die laughing because it's just too fucking funny.
Yeah,
like I can't grow sideburns, and so it just grows up to like really long.
Yeah,
and then you know my friend says that they had to pixelate the side of my face because I have Japanese pussy hair.
Pubes on the side of your ears,
like Japanese pussy, like pubes. This was Japanese pussy hair. And I looked at him. I was like, what do you mean? It's like, Japanese girls' fucking pussy hair is always straight. And that's what your shit looks like. And dog, that shit had me, I cried laughing because of how good that roast was, dude. Saying that my sideburns look like Japanese pussy hair is one of the fucking most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Especially as a Korean man.
Yeah, if you converted to like an Orthodox Jew and you had to grow that shit out, it'd be like, you're like, I'm sorry, my shit doesn't curl.
It just got really long ass hair. And I never noticed I couldn't grow sideburns until he said that shit. I was like, oh, I can't grow sideburns at all. It'll be like one hair on my cheek.
Yeah.
But I don't have much facial hair to begin with. Yeah. So I've never been able to grow facial hair at all.
This shit came later in my life.
Oh, like, for real?
Yeah.
Well, your fucking facial hair is red.
Red. Yeah. That's another thing. That's why my mom was like, I asked her about doing 23andMe.
Yeah.
Right, do you want to do a you know, like DNA tests. And she's like, why? She goes, you're Mongolian. Yeah. Well, I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, look at you. Look at your dad. He was like dark skin, curly hair, right? And you have red facial hair.
Yeah.
Like all these aspects. I was like, oh, did I have that blue, the birthmark on my butt? She's like, yeah, you had that too when you were born.
So yeah,
like,
is that so true? Because like, I've had that too. I had the blue birthmark too.
Apparently that's that Mongolian tag.
Yeah.
That's that Genghis Khan tag.
What is the story behind Genghis Khan? Is it what he literally just conquered and just fucked a bunch of women?
Literally raped.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is.
So that's the thing about it's really weird to celebrate him because he is like one of the history's greatest like conquerors. But along the way, he literally raped every single woman he ever saw.
Jesus, I had no idea. I thought he was just marrying a bunch of people that he was conquering. No, he was just...
Yeah. I think the statistic is like 2% of the world's population has Genghis Khan DNA.
That's fucking like, it's crazy, like that. Dude. This guy was fucking horny, man.
Horny.
That is some horny...
Like deviantly horny.
Oh, let me ask you this. So, how often... Let's say for you, right? Let's say you are, you have a girlfriend now and the girlfriend is just down to have sex as many times as you want every week. How often would you have sex every week? Oh, let's say not in the beginning. In the beginning, it's, you know,
in the beginning, it's all the time.
Yeah. Right? But let's say like, you know, 2 years in, how often do you think you would have sex?
You know, that another factor is age.
Yeah.
You know? But.
I just should go to you right now.
But I'm like, the last like interactions that I can think of is probably maybe 3 times a week.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Because I remember at one point too, it was bad. Like I just wasn't feeling it one day and she felt crazy, like unattractive. And it was
really?
Like, yeah. And it wasn't her fault. It's just like, I just wasn't feeling it that day.
Yeah. She's, you know? Did she just look like you'd be like, you don't want sex with me? Yeah. She goes, I've been doing you a favor this whole time.
I know. I feel fucking terrible about it. Like it's not her fault. You know?
She's over here just like, excuse me?
Dude, my libido though changes with my diet. Like when I fast, I really don't fuck at all. Like I don't feel like I think about sex ever.
Let me tell you something. When I work out a lot, sex is not on the table.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm freaking cholo, dude. Like I'm tired. I'm sleepy. Yeah. You know? That's why when people work out a lot and they say it boosts their libido, I'm sore. Like, don't touch me. I mean, I'm exhausted. Mm. So the reason why I bring that up is because I had a conversation with a friend of mine and he was talking about how he likes to have a lot of sex, right? And if he had it his way, he would have sex 2 to 3 times a day, every day.
Right.
And I'm thinking like, bro, you're going to kill her pussy. That shit hurts after a while. You know, it's like, doesn't your dick hurt?
But then like there's those people with like those crazy claims that they like Will Chamberlain, right? Like how many women he said? Like over his lifetime?
It was like a ridiculous
tens
number.
Of thousands or some shit like that. Yeah. And I remember back in the day, I was reading this, what is it? FHM or Maxim.
Maxim.
Maxim. I read it for the articles, bro. Yeah. No, but there was this like top 10 list, right?
Yeah.
Of claimed like men of how many sexual encounters they had. And I think number one was like Charlie Sheen, right? Like
his AIDS though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's HIV positive or some shit. But that was the thing, because he would have massive orgies for months on end or something.
How is that possible? Right. Or maybe I've just never had like a really strong libido because I'm not that horny. Like I'm not motivated by sex like that at all.
Right.
Like, if I look at, I mean, please, like as a heterosexual male, if I, you know, if a girl walks by, she has a fat ass, I'm looking.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my word. What in the Mount Montezuma is that? You know, it's like, look at those cakes. Like, yeah, I'll look and, you know, I'll flirt and stuff, but it has never been my objective to always try to get in the girl's pants. Like I just never cared that much.
Right.
Yeah. If I, you know, if I'm a lover boy, so if I'm in love with somebody, I want to have sex with them, but it's just like random hookups. I'm not saying I didn't have them. Right. Cause you know, when you go through a dry spell and you're a young person, you don't want to have sex, but I thought that I was, you know, decently sexually active. I was not.
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else, when I hear their number.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, your number is hot.
High. Like some of my friends too. I'm just like, what the fuck? I think it is like for me too. Like I never went out on Friday nights like I'm going to fuck. Mm-hmm. Like that never came to my mind. It was just I'm going to get fucked up.
Yeah. Like, you know, when people go out, they're trying to smash all the time. And I'm like, are you not afraid of AIDS?
Yeah. When I met those guys too, like who they want to go to Belasco because they're trying to fuck. And I'm like, that's why you go out? Like that was beyond. Maybe it's the church boys in us,
yeah,
right?
I think it might be that. It might be the Christian
church boys.
But there was a lot of church boys that weren't like us though.
Mm.
You know? But maybe because we were like in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I remember too, like, I remember when I lost my virginity, I was gambling with the thought of, am I going to go to hell?
Yeah. You know, every guy is like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, if I dive deep into this pussy, is God going to not love me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I had sex.
And then you did it again.
And again. Again. I was like, oh, I'm still here.
Yeah.
God forgives.
Yeah.
You know?
He is good. And
all the time.
All the time.
God. That Christian guilt was so nuts because I even remember when I was a kid, because I curse a lot now. And the reason why I started cursing a lot more, number one, I enjoy the way of expression.
Yes.
It just emphasizes things really well. Yeah. And it's fun. It's funny to me. Obviously, in front of small children, I'm not going to do that. I'm very good with that. Yeah. Depending, you know, on who the person is. And I'll bring up another story about that later. But I remember when I said fuck. I can't remember what age it was. It had to be when I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I went, fuck. And I felt that Satan grabbed my ankles and he was dragging me to the center of hell. I went,
did you see Ghost just before? Too? You know, at the end of Ghost, like dragging you.
I legit thought that I was going to hell every time I said the F word.
Mm.
And that was that Christian guilt that would eat me up inside. Yeah. And then later on.
So you say fruit.
Frick.
Frack. Biscuit.
Yeah. And it never felt good.
Right.
And the funny thing is like there was this moment where I had such a you know, bad issue with my temper as a kid, mainly because I was getting bullied. And the way that we would solve issues when we were younger is through physical violence.
Get out.
Get out. And it's just not very healthy.
No.
So I legit remember in 7th grade, I was so fucking angry, right? I developed this habit of instead of cursing, I would just punch shit until my hand would go numb.
Oh my gosh.
Over and over and over. And
that teenage angst, man.
Yeah.
Where do you take it? Where you're supposed to go. And you're in church. Right?
Exactly.
It's like, is it a sin to destroy some drywall?
So I got so fucking mad. And I remember I went to this middle school called James Rutter out in Sacramento. And there was this guy, his name was, let's call him Sean. Yeah. This guy named Sean, who I heard an update from him now. He is in jail.
Oh, nice.
So this guy flunked twice.
Yeah.
He didn't flunk twice. What I found out recently, because I've been telling people that he flunked twice, it wasn't that he flunked twice. He got into kindergarten during that weird time where his birthday is.
Yeah.
Where you have to either be held back or continue. So he was that a year older. And then on top of that, he flunked.
Right.
So he was 2 years older than everybody else. This fool looked damn near like a TA.
Yeah.
You know, in 7th and 8th grade. This guy was dumb as shit. Very, very fucking athletic though.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with him was that this fool would always try to punk people and steal their homework.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Let's keep this podcast supported and going, my friends, and check out The Lost Debate. Do you feel like you're living in a media bubble, like it's harder than ever to find views that challenge your own? That's where The Lost Debate steps in. It's a podcast and YouTube show for political eclectics who crave exposure to a diversity of beliefs and perspectives, because everybody, especially the news lady, are all about trends and shoving their biases down your throat and just beating you down with manipulation from mainstream bullshit. Well, guess what? Let's just have some honest conversations. Ravi Gupta, Corey Bradford, and Ariki Schlatt, my friends, they come from across the political aisle from different generations. And guess what? Fun shit. Dope shit, great conversations. Join the conversation. Check out The Lost Debate today. New episodes drop Tuesday and Thursdays. Find The Lost Debate on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So I'll just,
yeah.
Really?
Take my homework.
Erase your name.
Yeah. And I remember this moment too, because like he was trying to take my shit and, you know, geeky Asian kid with, you know, Coke bottle glasses, split little penis head.
Yeah.
You know, the penis hair.
The parted bowl cut.
Yeah, yeah. The parted bowl cut where it just looks like a fucking dick.
And did you have some bangs a little bit longer?
Of course,
dude. Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to get
bullied.
Fucking AZN. Yeah, so I was doing that. And then he tried to take my paper and I grabbed it from him. Yeah. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? He was like, I'm going to take your fucking homework. I'm like, no, you're not. And so literally, I mean, he wasn't very tall, but I was this height already.
Yeah.
At like 13.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like a couple inches shorter than I am now. I just remember I stood up and he's like, oh shit, this kid's really fucking big, but he's 2 years older.
Yeah.
And then we get into a fight in the middle of class. He's saying he's going to fuck me up. And the teacher saw what happened. She knows that he's a troublemaker. I go outside and there's like the water fountains. And I just started smashing my fist into the water fountain, right? Because I didn't get the fight. It was broken up. And then my hand was mangled. And then I just looked at my hand. And then I remember the teacher's name was Mr. Fuentes. And he looked at me. He's like, what did you do to your hands? I was like, I'm just so fucking angry. Like, you didn't let me fight. Like, I wanted to hit him, you know? He goes, I understand. You know, like, I saw that he provoked you. But you got to learn how to express yourself differently.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, he goes, you know, try doing it through your words. Worst advice ever he gave to me. Fuck all over the place now.
Yeah.
Saying shit, fuck, damn, bitch, whatever.
All that shit.
And it made me feel better.
It makes you feel better. Because you really mean what you're feeling in your heart, right?
Yeah.
That's the kind of shit I said a lot in church too. Because like I said, we grew up with a lot of American, like white and black people in our church because of the military base. And they all had Korean wives.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a lot of like good handiwork, right, around the church and whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember like my half white friends and their dads would always cuss to them, right? And I'd be like, oh, right? But then my friend later explained to me, it was just like, look, man, like if you really mean it in your heart, like if in your heart you have all this anger and hatred, and then you say, frick, like what do you really mean in your heart anyway? Like Jesus knows, right? Mm. So he goes, if you're gonna sin and your heart is already that way, he said, 100%, just say it.
And then you looked at him and you went, fuck
yeah. So, but later it was solidified in Iraq, actually. So when I was in Iraq, like I mentioned before, I was a missionary out there. We were walking around town and we see this white dude in this park, right? And you know, like that's just rare. We're the only other non like Kurdish people out there. Mm-hmm. And instantly he just comes and walks to us and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And then we're like, oh, we're part of an NGO and da 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 da. We don't really say. It's like it's a literal term for it, but I don't remember it right now. But it's kind of like a nonprofit kind of thing. Like, yeah, we're helping out the schools, we're doing this and that. And then he just says it like, oh yeah, I'm a missionary. He's not even scared, right? So like, oh yeah, we are too, you know?
Okay.
And then we just kept it real and had a real talk. And this guy was cussing and dropping F-bombs like all the time, right? And I was so drawn to that. And I was listening even closer to him because he really meant what he was talking about. And his whole story was like, after 9/11, he became a Christian and he just had this massive crisis like of his existence and his faith. And so he dug deep into the word, went to the deep end. And then he's the same reason he saw we as Americans started invading Iraq, you know, and destroying and killing. So he went there for the same reasons.
Mm.
But he was out there and he was keeping it fucking real. And that showed me a lot too, like what keeping it real means. So yeah, I was okay, I'm going to just be me and express myself from the heart. Because if I still do care about these people, but like, obviously I'm not going to be vulgar around like, cause a lot of them are like very wholesome Muslim people.
Yeah, of course.
But I'll try to read the crowd cause I live there now. Right. Mm-hmm. I just have to have the social cues. So that changed up my whole attitude towards like cussing and just keeping it fucking real. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Mine was literally just for therapy. It was like,
it just feels good.
I got to stop punching things.
Yeah.
Like I got to release this anger somewhere else. And it was just saying, fuck, damn, shit. Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, you know what really solidified it for me even more? It's like my mom was like, don't curse, Kezeki. And I'm like, I'm like, literally what she's saying to me in Korean is like, hey, don't curse, you bitch.
Listen, motherfucker, don't talk to me that way.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my, he's like,
your mom's a gangster.
Yeah, she's just literally like,
she's from the street.
She's like, are you saying curse words in front of me, you stupid bitch ass motherfucker? Yeah. I'm like, hold on a second. You know, it doesn't matter what language you're saying, it's still curse words.
Dude, my dad had a fucked up like idea of that shit too. Because, you know, ex-gang member had a rough life and upbringing. I heard him cuss a lot growing up too. But then once we hit like middle school, high school, he started really trying to like change up and fix up his life and get to work. And like kind of he lectured us a lot, but then he didn't know shit. Right?
Yeah.
So one time I was at the store, we were working. I think I pinched my finger, right? And I was like, oh, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like, mo? No more masa? I said, what the heck? He's like, to? To? What the heck? And I was like, yeah, what the heck? And then he literally thought it was like an American curse word. He didn't want me to say.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, no, this is like a replacement for a curse
word.
Yeah,
it's like, this is a good word. It's not bad.
Yeah, he got fucking pissed at me over saying, what the heck?
Dude, same shit with me when I was helping my mom because I didn't like working at the store on Saturdays because those are the days I wanted for myself.
Yeah.
But you know, as a Korean, you know, immigrant kid, you have to work whenever your parents tell you to work. So I'm working there.
All my weekends.
Yeah. All my weekends were there.
It's your summer break.
So I was having like a pissy ass mood in the morning. But by the time we got to the store, I was perfectly fine. Right. I'm like, ah, whatever. It's fine. I'm here. I got my Game Boy. I'll play my Game Boy in between.
Yeah.
So I'm going to the store and my mom has me, a box full of like food that we have, right? So it was a cardboard box, but she put like toshirak in there.
Yeah.
Like lunch stuff. And then as I was opening the door, I went to go grab the door, but the door slammed on my fingers. I was like, shit. Ah. And my mom was like, shit. No, shit. Shit.
Yeah.
And they repeat it.
They repeat it.
Yeah. Heck. What the heck?
Heck.
Yeah. I just remember, shit.
shit, shit, ha!
Yeah. And then so she don't even care that you've mangled your fucking hand. Yeah.
And all she just knew, she assumed that I was being upset because I had to go to work.
Right.
But just look at my purple fucking fingers.
Oh my God.
You know, and then so she just starts wailing on me. I'm like, oh my, look at my hand. Yeah. She doesn't give a fuck. She just starts beating the shit out of me. And then after it's all said and done, she's just like lecturing me for hours. And then she's like, what's wrong with your hand? Yeah. Like, I smashed my fingers. That's why it hurt. She goes, like, you already beat the shit out of me, dude. You know, what's done is done.
Dude, there's so many parents that like completely misunderstand what the fuck you're doing. Like all the fucking time. Like there's so many instances in my life where my parents thought, I was doing one thing and they literally thought I was supposed to be doing another. Like even, oh shit. So my dad finally, he didn't come to my graduation in high school because he was in jail.
Yeah.
Right. And then when I graduated college though, he came up and they're announcing the names by each major. So there's like audio, there's fashion, and then they announce video production and they call my name. After the graduation, my dad was so fucking pissed at me. He said, you went to school for video? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I thought you went to art school for drawing, for illustration.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, damn, you don't talk to me that much. Like, you don't even know what my major was. And you're mad at me about it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's fucking like, are you on the same plane?
Wait, so what did he expect that you to do after you graduated?
Well, I mean, it's because when I was a kid, I used to illustrate a lot. I drew a lot. Like my uncle has this portrait I drew of him when I was like in fourth grade.
Yeah.
And I saw it again one time. I was like, holy fucking shit, I drew that in fourth grade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but by the time I got to high school, I just stopped doing it. I actually just got into video. So the whole time my dad thought I was going there for like animation or illustration.
Yeah.
And he knew, okay, at least you can get a job. You might work at Disney or something. He's like, what the fuck are you going to do in video? And I'm that's like, there's plenty of jobs out there.
He's like, PDO?
Yeah.
PDO?
Yeah.
I told you, it's the three repeat. PDO!
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
He's
like, what the fuck? You care about it now? Like after my graduation, not like when I went to school.
Dude, there's just so many funny, just random like miscommunication stuff that we had, especially because, and I'm pretty sure a lot of kids who are immigrants who have parents who don't speak English, there's a big breakdown in communication because we don't speak the language, each other's languages.
Right.
Right. So me and my dad's relationship got better once I started to learn how to speak Korean. Because I just didn't know, like there would be moments too when my dad's screaming at me in Korean and my dad is just turning blue in the face. Yeah. Right. And then he just looks at me. And he just knows that he doesn't understand a damn word I'm saying. And then he looks at my brother, tell him what I just said. And then my brother's like, okay, this is what he's telling you. And I'm like, okay. But he's just like so frustrated because he can't even communicate to me what the fuck I'm fucking up on.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, my dad started speaking English when I got into seventh grade. So my brother's like a year older. So he's an eighth. And like I said, he would do these lectures. And he started speaking English to us for the first time in our lives. And it was so fucking bad. We could hardly like understand what the fuck he was saying.
Dude, did you ever get those things where your dad would learn like a one specific English word and he would use it all the time? My dad would always do that shit. So it would be some weird shit. Right. He learned the word actually.
So actually.
All the fucking time. But he would use it to insult me.
Yeah, no, actually.
No, he goes, like, I shit. This is not even me embellishing anything and making a joke. I will forever remember what he did because I just kept on hearing him say this word actually because he learned from my friend Sam's dad. And he would always say, actually. Yeah. Right? And so this motherfucker, like, I would do something. I forgot what exactly I did, but he goes, actually, you are the stupid. I'm like, this motherfucker doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
And he just outright just uses his first word he learns and calls me dumb.
Right. I mean, is there a Korean word for actually?
I don't know. 그래서? No. 그래서 is like because.
Like 진짜로? That's yeah, like 아니, really?
yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, 너 is stupid.
Yeah.
It was always just regal as fuck. Actually, you are the dumb.
Dude. Oh my God. The times my dad would fucking call me dumb or pyeongshin or shit. So once as a kid, I actually didn't know what it meant. My dad would call me pyeongshin like all the time. Right, so one day
you thought it was your Korean name.
Yeah,
like, how come every gangpin knows my name?
Park Pyeongchin.
Yeah,
no. So I was at the store and I was like really asking. I was like, "Oma, what's a Pyeongchin?" Right? She's like, "What?" She's like, "Appa calls me that all the time." She was like, "What? What?" She was like, "Pyeongchin is retard."
Yo, I didn't even know Pyeongchin meant retard. I thought it just meant you were slow or dumb.
Yeah.
And so my whole life, I thought there are so many things Korean dramas taught me.
My Kalmana used to call me that shit too, you know?
Dude, Korean people are so harsh with their words.
Yeah.
Dude. Like you could just mess up something small, Pyeongchin. It's like, I am retarded because I dropped my chopstick.
Yeah.
Hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
Those words. And I guess it's good that we didn't really speak Korean that well anyways, because it would have affected me a lot more if it was truly my first language, because it would impact me a lot more.
Yeah.
But
Genius Brain listeners, this podcast is brought to you by IP Vanish, my genius brain farts. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. You freaking idiots. What are you doing? You need to get IP Vanish. I don't surf shit if I'm not using my VPN from IP Vanish. And if you think I am, you would be wrong. Steal these nuts. Bitch, even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. Whatever you look up is your business, and everybody trying to be in your business need to get out your business, and IP Vanish got your back. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. So go to ipvanish.com/brain and use promotional code brain and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/brain.
I would hear words like Pyeongchin Dorai, you know, right. Which albeit given, I did a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't say that to your kids. You know, like after a while, you're kind of sitting there. And I remember like Pyeongchin, I found it was retarded because I was watching Korean dramas in college and it translated it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, that means retarded? Yeah. Like, you've been calling me retard my whole life?
What the fuck? My dad called me that. My grandma called me that.
Yeah. What the fuck? What is this shit, dude? Yeah. Like, I remember me calling my mom because I was learning all these curse words in these Korean. I'm like, oh my, you call me retarded my whole life. She goes, yeah. I'm like, you can't call. I'm your son. Like, you don't like, say that stuff to me.
What's her argument? I can call you that because you're my son.
I know. Yeah, right? Anybody else says that?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm Oma.
Right.
I just had this conversation with her recently where we were talking on the phone. And she's just, so, you know, my knee's a little fucked up, but I'm rehabbing it and I'm working on it, right?
Yeah.
And my knee has gotten a lot better in the last couple of weeks, but she keeps calling me about my fucking knee because, you know, parents are always going to worry about you no matter how old you are.
Yeah.
And then I literally told my mom, I was like, so let me get this. It's like, you're going to constantly call me 3-4 times a day to ask me about my knee.
She's I'm like, waiting for it to get healed.
Yeah. I'm like, you're stressing me out.
Like as if you can read your health meter.
Exactly. I'm like, what I told you 2 hours ago is the same.
Hello, baby. What's your HP level?
I know. Did you buy the final boss?
Yeah.
But she's checking up on me, which is very sweet. But I literally told her, I was like, hey, I'm old now.
Yeah.
You don't need to check up on me. She goes, listen, I don't care how old you are. When I call you, you pick up the phone and you hear me complain.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what do you mean? She goes, if I want to complain and nag at you, you're just going to have to listen. Right. She goes, I don't care.
You're like, the guy.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess that's just the deal.
Yeah.
You know? So I just kind of pick up the phone and I'm like, oh, I don't care. She goes, okay, I'm still going to say it. She didn't give a fuck about my feelings, dude.
Yeah.
She called me a retard for fucking 30 years of my life.
Dude. I mean, I think the relationship I had with my mom was that I was able to keep it real with her.
Mm.
Right. Like there was once like my mom wanted me to have lunch with her after church. And this whole time, all morning at church, I was just hungover.
Mm.
Right. And even all the way up to me having lunch with her, I could like barely sit up. She's like, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? And I was able to keep it real. I was just like, I'm fucking hungover. Like, I am so hungover. I drank too much last night. And you know what she says to me? She goes, Edward, you have to be careful because you have my blood. My family can drink a lot of Oh, okay. Like I thought she was going to be like, you can't drink. You're a Bible study teacher and all these things. She was just careful with it.
I mean, I know a lot of people, they see the glimpse of Korean culture that people see. And once again, when we speak about Korean culture, we're talking about our Korean American experience. Mm-hmm. And you know what people experience in Korea are probably going to be really different. So I'm not really speaking for that part. I'm only talking about our lives. And a lot of Korean Americans can really relate to this stuff. But, you know, just going back to what we were saying about how sometimes like Korean people don't understand how harsh words can be.
Yeah.
Like, I got really drunk one time and I threw up so much, I popped the blood vessels in my eyes. And so I legit thought I was going to die. And I went into the shower with fully clothed and I just hit the shower. just moaning. And I could just hear my dad and my mom was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I was like, I drank. And I didn't really drink that much at that time. I drank a lot when I was younger, but there was a good few years where I didn't drink.
Yeah.
And so my mom is just like worried about me. She goes, we have to take you to the hospital. And my dad, I can hear him screaming in the back, let him die. You know, he made his choices. Let him die. I'm going to drive him to the hospital, leave him at the front. He's going to die anyways. Let him die.
Oh my God. And my mom's like, and
she's literally telling me, shut up. I can't hear him. You know, shut up. Oh my dad's gosh. Like, if he wants to die, just let him die. I'm like, so dramatic, man.
That's what you get for drinking.
Yeah, he's just screaming at the top of his fucking lungs. And my dad's so chill now.
Right.
He's really fucking chill. You know, because of you and you were talking about how your whole family life and your experiences. I went to go talk to my dad about my grandpa.
Your family history, right? Yeah. You told me you were going to say, like, open up about that.
Yeah, grandpa and grandma. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier with, who the fuck was I talking to? Somebody on this damn podcast. I think it was Edric. But when I was a kid, I didn't know that my grandparents could speak Japanese.
Oh, that was with me. Yeah. you did tell me that.
Yeah, so they could speak Japanese completely fluently. Yeah. And then what it was is that during World War II, you know, because we were occupied by Japan even before that.
Yeah,
right?
From like 1910.
Yeah, it was like a good 50 years or something like that. We had a long occupation, right? And, you know, that terrible history. But my grandpa could read and write and speak in Japanese. So his position was like in the middle. He would do paperwork for Korean people translating their shit. Mm. So he would like switch over Korean documents over into Japanese. And so, you know, he wasn't really fucked with. My grandma was a military translator for the Japanese military. She could speak Japanese as well, completely fluently read and write.
Right.
So when military Japanese people would do, I don't know, whatever, it's a general, I'm making this up right now, but they would do a speech or they had to tell Korean people to go somewhere, she would translate it in Korean.
Right.
These people.
Right.
So that's why they spoke Japanese. And when I was a kid, they would talk shit in Japanese so we couldn't understand.
Right. So they would just get in fights and it'd just be loud
all in Japanese. And then my dad told me, he's like, you don't remember when your grandma and grandpa would fight in front of us and it would just be all in Japanese.
Right.
I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't remember too much, but I do remember my grandpa showing me that he could speak and write in Japanese.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And just because like we were talking about some verbal abuse shit, you know, our buddy Ray, this fool told me that he remembered his grandma and grandpa speaking Japanese.
Yeah.
Only because as a kid, because he used to watch a lot of anime and he would always hear his name with Ray and fucking Baka, which is idiot.
You're right.
In Japanese. But they didn't know that he understood that they were talking. So Ray as a kid is just like, what the fuck? You know? An idiot in Korean and Japanese and English, like in three different languages.
Oh, no.
Korean people are hella fucking verbally abusive, dude.
Oh, shit.
And his grandpa, too. I actually found out about his grandfather. His grandfather was high up military for both sides.
Wow.
So during, you know, while they were, you know, while Japan occupied Korea, he was in like the Japanese military and he was a higher up, like a general, like either like in the Navy or some shit. I forgot what it was. Shit. But then when World War II happened, he was a higher up in the military in Korea, which is so fucking nuts to me.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. And these are the things that we don't ever figure, because I never cared to ask.
Yeah.
And I finally asked my dad and it's like, I asked him too, kind of about this period where I was like, well, what happened during the Korean War? Like, did it, how did it, he was like, no, he was on a boat. He went to an island and he fished and he didn't even know the war ended. Until like somebody, you know, fishermen came up to him. They're like, what the fuck are these people doing here on this island still? The war's done. I'm like, I was like, oh. So he was just fishing the whole time. And that's where my grandpa fell in love with fishing. So my grandpa would fish every fucking weekend, right. Like deep sea fishing all the time. So he fell in love with fishing while he escaped the Korean War as he was fishing off these small islands. And then he continued that on.
Right.
Which is so fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Like I remember my grandparents both spoke Japanese too. That's the thing. Every Korean grandparent, it speaks Japanese. We're only like two generations away from
that. Yeah, it's not that far apart.
Yeah. But what I learned was that when my grandma was 16, her best friend was kidnapped as a sex slave.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. And so and I told you, my grandma's father was a politician. And so they had connections. So this is the 1930s, I believe. Like where they had to reach out to a family friend who was my grandfather. He was a scholar. He was a Korean living in Japan as a scholar.
Yeah.
And then they called him back to Korea to marry my grandma so that she won't get kidnapped as a sex slave.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that's why they got married like at such a young age.
For real?
Yeah. Just to avoid that. That's why that shit is like, I mean, thank fucking God my grandmoney isn't, you know, like didn't become one of those sex slaves. But it's real to her too, like her best friend. And you know, we talked about earlier, like way back when we were talking about chingu, like friends in Korea is fucking deep-seated because you go through the entire public school system in the same class as the same people.
They say it's best friends for life. My dad's still best friends with his friend in Korea.
Yeah.
And they still talk over Facebook and shit. And he's like, so when like my perception of what a best friend is compared to our parents was very different.
So different.
They spend almost every waking second with them, aside from the fact when they went home. But at school, from elementary school all the way up until, you know, high school, like they've probably been in the same class together.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it is nowadays, but that is how it is for them.
My 80-year-old grandma called me from Korea. When I had Kakao, I deleted that shit. But when I had, she's like, I'm in Korea. I'm with my elementary school friends.
That's so crazy.
She's fucking 80 years old, you know? She goes back to Korea. It's easy to connect with them because of where they're from.
Dude, and I would hear some of these crazy stories too. Because I don't know what it's like for them in elementary school. But, you know, we would always see these Korean shows and you see like certain amount of bullying and stuff. But then my mom told me that, I mean, I'm pretty sure films exaggerate a lot of fight scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
But my mom was talking about like how bullying was when she was a kid. And she was like, girls were really mean in her grade school. So my mom was always like a tomboy. And she said that, you know, so my mom has this condition where it's this crazy condition called alopecia. She has this condition where she can't sweat. Mm. She physically cannot sweat.
Huh.
So her body doesn't have a mechanism to cool her body down. So when we were kids and we would go to these, you know, church volleyball tournaments, it's in the summer, it's hot as shit. I had to put ice packs on the back of her neck so she would stay cool because she physically cannot sweat.
Wow.
So with my mom, a lot of kids make fun of her because her face would turn red.
Right. Because she's heating up inside.
Yeah. So they would call her tomato. You know, they try to roast her ass. Well, my mom had you know, when my mom looks at me and she goes, I don't understand where you get this violence from. It's like, it's from you, bitch. Yeah. So this is a story that her friend told me. Was like, one time these guys were picking on her so much that they kept on calling her tomato face over and over. Yeah. And the whole class would laugh. She was like, she tried to befriend them and she started being like kind of flirty with them or whatever, you know, just to kind of ease it. And then she was like, oh, let's meet up after school and, you know, kind of like have some fun or whatever.
Yeah.
She beat the shit out of these two guys.
Oh my God.
Like literally jumped them behind the school.
Oh shit.
Because they kept calling her tomato face.
Yeah.
Like this woman is a savage. And this isn't from her. This is from her my mom's friend telling me the story. I'm like, Jesus, what the fuck? And then she looks at me and goes, why are you so angry?
It's like,
as if she's fucking Buddha, dude.
Yeah.
But you know, all these parents have these backstories that you don't know, but other people will fill it in.
Yeah.
You know, Abe's dad. So Abe is my manager, also my cousin. I've known him as his dad is a hard ass. Yeah. I love him. He's my uncle. Right.
Right.
hard ass, and I never understood why. He used to wake us up at Saturday mornings and just call us jackasses. Right?
Yeah.
He would say lazy there. Yeah. Right? Why aren't you up, bunch of lazy there's, you bunch of idiots? And he would say it in English because he's Americanized.
Yeah.
Right? Because he came to the States when he was in junior high.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, Abe told me this funny fucking story where I think he was at a bank. I don't remember what exactly it was, but he was at a bank. And because he used to work for the bank, and then he looked at Abe because Abe looks like his dad, and he saw his last name, and he goes, "Oh, is your father's name this and that?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, that's my dad. How do you know him?" He goes, "Dude, your dad was a fucking badass in high school." Really? He's like, "What do you mean? How was he a badass?" He goes, "Yeah, well, your dad used to get into a lot of fucking fights." He goes, "What is your dad up to now?" You know, "My dad works for Folsom State Prison." He goes, "Oh, you mean he's in prison?" He goes, no. He works as a teacher, as an educator inside the Folsom State Prison. No, you mean he's in jail. He goes, "No, he's not in jail. He teaches there." And then lo and behold, I started hearing these stories from him because we kind of asked him about it during Thanksgiving. This fool was known specifically in Sacramento, Elk Grove, California, as the dude that would carry around nunchucks with him.
He had like long flowy hair and shit too. Yeah.
Long flowy fucking hair. And he was like
a
Bruce
denim
Lee.
Jacket.
Nunchucks. And so he told me this story, and he's telling the story like it's all casual. He goes, "Yeah, I remember, you know, at the time Elk Grove was really white, and I was one of the only Asian kids that was in the football team, and I wasn't scared of anybody. So I went to a party and somebody called me a chink. So I decided to get my nunchucks and I smashed all their windows." I'm like, "What the fuck? Dude, that is not an appropriate response, bro." Yeah. Like, you know, oh, I'm like, and he's laughing his ass off. I'm like, "Dude, you're a criminal." Like, what the fuck?
Found a way to beat the system now.
Yeah. He would fuck people up with these pair of fucking wood nunchucks, and nunchucks are illegal.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
My lovely genius brain farts. This podcast is brought to you by Fume. Ever try to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up, baby. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. What is Fume, you ask? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy that makes replacing your bad habit easy. I keep one in my car just because I'm a fidgety guy. And guess what? I'd be puffing on that delicious herbal tea vapor, my friends. Nothing bad for you in there. And definitely, definitely fun to use. My friends, start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/genius and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code genius to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/genius to save 10% off the journey pack today.
Genius farts, you know what time it is. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporting them, because without you guys, I don't get paid and I gotta be out in these streets sucking some ding dong. Which, hey, for some people they might like it, but not for me. So this podcast is brought to you by Raycon, my friends. A lot of people didn't even make resolutions this year, and you know what? I get it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't still find a way to shake things up, whether it's by switching up your workout routine or going someplace new. Whatever way you challenge yourself this new year, there's no better way to do it than with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. Their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. I freaking love them. If I'm outside, I'm jogging, I'm shadow boxing, I got myself my Raycon earbuds in. They don't fall out my damn ears. And let me tell you something, your boy be shaking and rumbling all over the place. Specifically when I am biking, I love my Raycon earbuds. They feel freaking amazing. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. That's right. So when you do these domestic flights from here to California all the way to New York, I don't got to worry about it running out of freaking batteries, which is so damn annoying. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 48,000 five-star reviews. Right now, Genius Brain listeners listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/brain. That's buyraycon.com/brain to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/brain.
Yeah.
And he would always carry them in his back pocket. But apparently this fool would just walk around in his Asian gang and just start fucking people up as a menace.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, who are you? Yeah. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
But now I understand why he would beat my ass all the time, because he was such a hard ass, you know?
Like I look back through like you were mentioning the old classmate you had who was 2 years older, right? Mm-hmm. And I told you my dad was in seventh grade when he was 16.
Yeah.
And shit. And so I had it in my head, he probably bullied the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, being
the biggest person there. But I remember one time when we were in high school, we did a road trip to LA, and he was driving us through K-Town, and he drove by Virgil High School, and he's like, "This is my high school. This is where I went." I'm like, "Wow, you went to high school here in America? Wow, right?" Mm-hmm. So he's like, in my head, I'm like, "Man, my dad walked through the same steps I did too. You know, he's not that different." And then he's like, "Yeah, teacher got raped there." What? What? Like a teacher raped a kid or something? He's like, "No, boy rape man teacher." I was like, the fuck?
What? I like how he just casually just says things like this.
Yeah, he just casually just brought up, "I'm only 15 at this time."
I like it. He just starts breaking it down to you. Yeah, he took up his pants. Yeah. You know, like, took his kochu. He went bang, 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 bang. Appa, this is weird.
And then he like baguri on the back. Yeah. Just like, but yeah, he said it so casually, like, the fuck did you live through? You know, what kind of high school was this back in the 70s? I guess it was fucking rough.
Well, like, back then a lot too. Of these like Asian gangs too started up because of bullying.
Yeah,
all the time. True. Like they had to kind of stick together so people just wouldn't fuck with them. And you know, 90s and 80s and stuff like that, there was a lot of Asian people were getting profiled because of like a highly gang affiliated shit.
Yeah.
And the way like, I'm pretty sure if you're like Vietnamese, Cambodian, Southeast Asian, and your parents tell you these stories, or maybe even like some of your older cousins and uncles, they'll probably tell you, I mean, depending on who your relatives are, but this is like the people that I knew and kind of grew up around, is that, you know, they would tell stories about they get bullied a lot. And so they had to stick together. But the biggest difference that a lot of like American gangs didn't realize about people who come from war torn countries, what you did was child's play.
Yeah.
Like there was, you could look up these articles of people fucking getting their heads chopped off with machetes.
Yeah.
And they're just like these.
But wearing glasses.
Yeah. It's like, oh, these guys are crazy. Not crazy. They grew up in a war torn country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People were getting shot, killed, and murdered. You fucking around with them saying you're going to fuck them up, to them, it's like, oh, it's do or die. I got to kill this person.
Yeah.
And they would literally chop people's limbs off. I'm not saying everybody, but there were very specific stories just like that.
Oh, yeah. Like my friend got in a fight at the club. He's with a Vietnamese dude. And on the dance floor, he straight body slammed him, right? And when they got outside, they went at it again. But then the bouncers like beat the shit out of my friend, right? They kicked him in the face and he had a huge gash on his
eye. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Then my brother saw what the fuck happened. So he walked straight up to the Vietnamese dude and just socked him in the face too. Then the bouncers jumped on my brother and all this. It was fucking panic.
They knew each other. The bouncers then knew each other for sure.
Maybe. Yeah. But my friend couldn't hide the fact that he had this huge gash on his forehead now, or on his eyebrow. Right? And then he had to go see his dad next day, like church. And then, but he kept it real with his dad too. He's like, "I got in a fight, you know, with, you know, this Vietnamese kid." You know what his dad said? He's like, "Oh, don't fight the Vietnamese kids. They come from war. Yeah. You know, their parents and their country, that's very sad."
Yeah, you should feel bad.
Yeah, he's like, "Man, a lot of war. Don't fight the Vietnamese." Like, damn. Okay.
Yeah, man. Like these Southeast Asian refugee stories are so fucking nuts. And it's not even that long ago. These are parents who have like literally gone through that shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes when, you know, people talk about their trials and tribulations, like, "I bet you ain't never talked to a fucking Vietnamese refugee, bro."
Yeah.
Like they've been through some fucking shit. Like one day, you know, Khalif will probably tell his story about his mom's story too. And it's so fucking crazy just to think that somebody I've physically seen went through this horrendous shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why people, you see a lot of like Vietnamese adoptees here.
Yeah.
Because they came from a war-torn country. There's stories of people like giving their children away to like, you know, American people.
Right.
Take my kid because they're going to die here. And their whole village gets obliterated.
Right.
So what do you do here? You know, like that's, those stories always kind of honestly just keep me in check.
Yeah.
Because people, they're still alive. These people are still alive.
It's fresh for them. For us, it's like two generations apart.
Mm-hmm.
But then we do see the residual effects of our grandparents having seen a lot of shit. Like, first episode of Pachinko came out and they really show what Japanese occupation in Korea was like in the early 1900s, right? They really portrayed it like hard, like what the kind of oppression, like literally what was like too. And so that's why, like, I feel like Koreans have, well, a different sense of humor because of the shit they've seen, but also like kind of, like I said, an emotional hardness, right? Like we can laugh about it now, but the way our parents are so emotionally cut off because of what their parents went through.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no fucking reason to complain about anything because you're fucking alive.
Yeah. I mean, when the last fight that me and my dad had, we had a conversation about like, and this was years ago. And then it was just a really sad conversation about how I basically told him like, yo, you always like to tell me what to do, but you don't ever talk to me.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this whole thing where you feel like you could just tell me how to live my life and always command me to do your bidding, but you've never even once asked me how I'm doing.
He just talks at you.
Yes. I was like, you always talk at me. You don't ever speak to me.
Yeah.
What do you think gives you the right to speak to me that way? Especially I'm grown now. I pay all my own fucking bills. In fact, I help you guys out too. So yeah. It's like, I'm not telling you that you owe me anything, but why don't you ever just, I don't know, ask me how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. My dad said something very profound. He goes, because I don't know how. He goes, I don't.
Straight up.
He goes,
kept it real.
Let me ask you something. He goes, do you think that your grandparents, your grandma and grandpa asked me how I was doing? He goes, they never did.
Yeah.
They asked me the same questions. Did you eat?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Stop messing up. He goes, this is all I know. This is how I know how to communicate because this is all I was taught. You're asking me to do something I don't know how to do. And he's like, you're never going to get that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because I don't want to. I just don't know how. He goes, you're at an age now and I'm at an age where I'm not going to change. You can change. You need to learn how to empathize with me and understand that I've been through things that you don't even know about. So just stop expecting me to be like your mom. Like your mom is there for, if you want to talk about your feelings, you know, go be gay with her. No, I'm kidding. That's what he said. No, he didn't say that. No, he's like, you know, but you know, like you have a parent that can do that. I can't do that for you, you know?
Right.
So that was like a big learning lesson for me too. It's like, ah, shit, I need to learn how to empathize with my parents because they've just been through shit that I haven't.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting them to kind of mold into this, you know, American ideal of what a family is, but this is not something that they grew up with.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you reach a certain age, you have to learn how to empathize with your parents as well, you know?
Yeah. Like I could see that in my dad too. He never explained it to us, like, but knowing like the memories I have of my dad's dad, like he was a hard, like serious man. He was a military man who fought in Vietnam. And I can see like my halmai told me a story how when my harabaji would scold him or say some shit, it made my dad cry. And that blows my fucking mind.
Jose, what do you mean? He cried?
Yeah. My dad, he cried, you know? And it's like,
when?
Yeah. So I can see like there, because of all of the type of neglect my dad had, it seemed like my dad was just kind of left alone to be fucking wild, but my grandparents would come in to also help like save the day when you get into deep shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I told you, my dad got kidnapped once, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. He got kidnapped in downtown LA.
Like who?
Back in the day by some gangsters. Like my mom told me he was driving downtown and this girl hollered at him and she got in a car with him and she led him to this spot where he got ambushed by two other dudes and
he just jacked his shit.
They jacked his shit, but they held him at knife point and they had him call my grandpa for ransom. So my grandpa had to go in there with a stack of cash to get my dad out.
That'd be so crazy.
Yeah.
If like your grandpa was just like, no, thank you. Yeah. Go on. Don't piss off.
Yeah. No, like, so like, I see like the hardness and the fucked up shit that they've seen and been through, where it's just like, as long as we're not like him, like, I think my dad was proud enough. Yeah. I could see where my dad didn't want us to do the shit he used to do. Mm-hmm. So my brother got a CL type S back in high school.
Mm.
Right. And, you know, we're kids with a fast car.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I think it was when my brother got his first speeding ticket or some shit. My dad, once again, lecturing us for hours. Right. But we also know this story. We know that, my mom said, like, try to tell us a story how my dad used to have this red Camaro, right, in the early 80s. And, like, used to fucking drive the shit out of that thing in K-Town, like, loud V8 and everything. And one day, one of his KK buddies was like, hey, you know, can I borrow your car? And then he crashed and died speeding.
You know? Holy shit, dude.
And so we were trying to argue back, like, but like, because he was also telling us, like, don't let other people drive the car and shit too. And we're like, you let your friend drive your car and he crashed it. He's like, exactly. That's why I don't want you to do it. And then he said, my friend borrowed my car when I went to church. And then he sped that car into the church wall to commit suicide. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is fucked up. Like, this guy borrowed my dad's car to kill himself, but he did it where my dad was at, where he was going to be.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's traumatic as
fuck. Traumatic as fuck. So that's why he's just like, you know, you fucking take care of this car.
Yeah,
nobody
yeah.
else drives your car. You don't fucking race your car. Like, none of that shit.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And your dad just stuffed that shit, his feelings inside.
Yeah, and then he took it right back in.
Yeah,
and then he beat your ass. Didn't even cry about it. Yeah. Didn't even cry about it.
It's like, what do you mean my dad cries? Yeah. Dude, I've only saw my dad cry once. And that's when my brother told him that, not to call him, it's like, don't say that you're my father anymore. And then my dad bawled, dude. Like, I remember he literally walked to the couch, covered his eyes, and he started bawling.
Like,
yeah,
like that Korean sorrow where he's beating his chest.
And then I just remember my mom looked at my brother just like, disappointed, and my brother started tearing up. He walks over to my dad and just lays on his stomach and he starts crying. Right. And I just remember looking at that going, you know, I said the same thing and you kicked me out.
Yeah. There was no core memory. There was no inside action.
Was so pissed.
You're like this third party viewer of this core memory being built, but it's like a different color in your head.
I just remember watching these two sob and cry together, right? And then my mom walks over and puts her hand on my brother's shoulder, and I'm just standing there in my boxers and my shirt going, what the fuck?
Yes, I'm having this beautiful family moment.
And you're not a part of it. I just remember standing there in my boxers and my shirt going, what the fuck?
Yeah, you would have called me gay.
Yeah. I remember the time I was like, hey, don't. I goes, you're not my dad anymore. He goes, good. We get out. Good job. Get out.
The fuck is up with this firstborn favoritism in our families, bro? It's so regular in Korean families, though.
I just remember, I will forever remember watching my dad cry for the first time. And it was over something I said to my dad. And he literally kicked me out.
Yeah.
But then the firstborn son.
Yeah.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience.
and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.